Welcome to Backseat Box Office, episode number 198, for the weekend of July 25th to July 27th. And to the winner of the Season 8 $25 Amazon gift card, please send us your mailing address to contest@backseatproducers.com. And now, on with the show. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I know our schedule has been a little haphazard, but I was on vacation, and I was totally planning to do an on-location recording of Backseat Box Office, but the wireless at the Lombard Inn in San Francisco did not cooperate.
Yeah, so, hotel wireless, not reliable. Go figure.
You know, I've been to a lot of hotels, and this is the first time I've had a problem with Wi-Fi.
Okay.
And I tend to think that San Francisco is pretty progressive as far as, you know, technology.
Sure.
I was a little surprised. I mean, we were not at a 4-star hotel, and obviously that was evidenced by the Wi-Fi, because, you know, I'm always surprised at the hotels that charge you for Wi-Fi still.
Yeah.
Vegas will charge you, even though they don't tell you straight out. But free Wi-Fi, you know, yeah. Anyways. So, long story short, I know too late. That's why there was no show last week. And I know we've been 50-50 for the last 4 weeks, but I am committed to keeping the show going. So, with that, Art, how are you? We haven't heard from you in 2 weeks.
I'm doing good. You know, I was ready to go, and then you said no, and I'm like, well, that's no big deal either. So, because, you know, the time we record, I'm Central, and you're West Coast, so if we're not recording, I'm going to sleep.
I think that's true of any time zone, Art.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to last week's box office results. Here's how the weekend of July 18th through July 20th ended up. At number one, we have Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, came in at $36.3 million. At number two, The Purge Anarchy, came in at $29.8 million. At number three, we had Planes, Fire, and Rescue, that came in at $17.5 million. At number four, we had Sex Tape, which came in at $14.6 million. At number five, Transformers Age of Extinction came in at $9.8 million. And at number six, we have Tammy, which ended up at $7.4 million. And I do believe that I only have to cover six movies because of our four players. Those were only six that showed up in everyone's top five. So, Art, why don't you tell us how each individual player did last week?
Well, me and you had the same picks. We had Dawn of the Planet of the Apes in the first spot, in the right spot. And we had Planes and Sex Tape each switched, costing us a point each. We had The Purge Anarchy in the fourth spot, costing us two more points. And we had Tammy in the fifth spot, costing us another point, bringing us both to 20 points. Next up, we have Nick with a voicemail.
Hey, gang, it's Nick. Number one, Planes, Fire, and Rescue. Two, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Three, The Purge Anarchy. Four, Sex Tape, which I'm really disappointed in Jason Segel. I've always liked him. I think he's just cashing in a paycheck on this one. It looks really bad. Make a sex tape then. Oh no, everyone's discovering it. No one's thought of that before. I'm really disappointed in that. But yeah, that's four. And then five, Transformers 4. But it just really pisses me off that Siegel is, I hope he's not becoming Sandler, but he's still good. This one, I'll let him pass on this one, but Have a good week. All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for that voicemail, Nick. He put Planes in the number one spot, costing him 4 points. He had Dawn of the Planet of the Apes off one spot, costing a point. The Purge Anarchy in the third spot, costing another point. He had Sex Tape in the right spot, number four, and he had Transformers Age of Extinction in the fifth spot, also the right spot, for a total of 19. Next up, we have Brittany. She also had Planes in the number one spot, and costing her 4 points. The Purge Anarchy in the right spot, number two. Sex Tape in the third spot, costing her a point. She had Dawn of the Planet of the Apes in the fourth spot, costing her 3 points. And Transformers Age of Extinction in the fifth spot, in the right spot, and for a total of 17 points for her.
All right, now, while you're reading that, I just realized, during a little mini panic attack, that we have 2 weeks to cover. So now, let's talk about what happened 2 weeks ago. Here's the box office for the weekend of July 11th through July 13th. At number one, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes came in at $72.6 million. That was number one. Number two, Transformers Age of Extinction came in at $16.3 million. Tammy came in at $12.5 million. At number four, 22 Jump Street came in at $6.5 million. And at number five, How to Train Your Dragon 2 came in at $6.0 million. So, Art, why don't you tell us the scores that everyone had last week?
Well, it was a very small week. Me and you, we came out with 25s, coming out smelling like a rose. Nick got the top four spots all right, and he put a number seven movie in the fifth spot, costing two points for a total of 23. And that's how the points rounded out.
Yeah, Deliverance from Evil came in at 7, he entered at 5, so that was 2 points, and that's how he ended up with 23. So, let's talk about the leaderboard, then.
So, the current standings for the leaderboard. Me and you are currently tied for the top spot with 22.3 points. Nick is in third with 20.6 points, and Britt is in fourth with 17 points.
All right, so now we can move on to Art's House. So I'm going to break the pattern here. We're going to go back 2 weeks to talk about what happened. So I had Land Ho, which came in at $8,580. And Art and Father Beast came in picked Boyhood, which blew the doors off at $77,524. So they each got a point. And then fast forwarding to this last weekend, the weekend of July 18th, yours truly and Father Beast came in with our selected iOrigins that reported an average of 6,913. And Art's movie, Wish I Was Here, came in with 7,124. So about a $200 difference gives Art a point. So the standings after 3 weeks is Art got 2 points over the last 2 weeks. Father Beast got one, and I got zero. So Art is in first place with 3 points. Father Beast has two, and I have the aforementioned donut.
Yes, that's a point 3 weeks in a row for me. So I'm going to go on the record as saying that will be the last 3 points I score for the rest of the season.
I was going to say, I might just drop out and let you and Father Beast battle it out, but no, I can't do that. All right, now we can talk about the contest for the Amazon gift card. We had one person, Nick, who had the highest total and not be a host, so he got an entry for this week. The week before that, he also got an entry for having the highest listener total. So he has three so far, but 2 weeks ago, Tad sent us a voicemail with his review of a movie. So I think we're going to play that right now.
Hey, Backseat. This is Tad calling in. Yeah, sorry, I've missed the last few weeks. I got married and moved and just everything going on has been crazy. So I, you know, missed the last few weeks. And I was actually going to have all my picks written out for last week and then just never called in. But I'll try to get back to that. Okay, real quick, I have a movie review. I Redboxed Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. And I really liked it. You know, I like most of the Jack Ryan movies.
last couple, Summer Ball Fear, that was okay. But I think this one kind of gets back to it. I like the wife, the role she plays, and how she, I think she kind of accepts it a little too quickly. I mean, she thought he was having a, he couldn't tell he was in the CIA because they weren't married. And when she finally eventually figures it out, he tells her she just leaves him right away. And I kind of didn't really, I don't know. I thought maybe it would kind of be harder for her to believe it, but I guess she was still relieved that he wasn't having an affair, that she accepted it fairly readily and then jumps right in to, you know, doing the dangerous stuff to help him complete his mission, which I kind of liked. And thought, Keira Knightley, I think it was playing this wife. You know, I think she did a good job. I'm kind of looking forward to the next one, and I would recommend it. So there you go. Thanks. Bye.
And thank you, Tad, for that, and reminding everybody that you can still send in movie reviews and get a entry into the hat for the $25 Amazon gift card. And, you know, we have missed you, and we look forward to you sending your top fives again. Or if you just want to be, you know, a deputized movie reviewer, that's okay, too. So now that we're done talking about the Amazon gift card contest, we can start to talk about what's coming out this weekend in the movie theater. So, Art, why don't you tell us about Hercules?
Okay, Hercules. Hercules rated 71% on the tomato meter, 14 reviews counted, 10 fresh, 4 rotten, 96% want to see it, out of 67,216 user ratings. Paramount Pictures and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Pictures filmed... That is a bad sentence.
You can go with MGM if you want.
Yeah, well, I probably should have, but Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Pictures film.
Right.
Paramount Pictures and MGM Pictures film Hercules, starring Dwayne Johnson, Bows?
Take a bow.
Oh, like take a bow. Right. Why? This is killing me.
Take three.
Why would they choose that word? Paramount Pictures and MGM Pictures film Hercules, starring Dwayne Johnson, debuts on July 25th. Based on Radical Comics Hercules by Stephen Moore, this ensemble action film is a revisionist take on the classic myth, Hercules. The epic action film also stars Golden Globe winner Ian McShane, Rufus Sewell, Joseph Fiennes, Peter Mullen, and Academy Award nominee John Hurt. Rated PG-13, 2 hours. Directed by Brett Ratner. Oh, interesting. Rebecca Ferguson, Askell Hayne, Tobias Santelman. I recognize only a couple of these names.
Ian McShane was Blackbeard in Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Okay.
I didn't watch the trailer, but I remember hearing his voice while the TV was on while I was doing something else. Yeah, I don't know. This looks terrible. This looks terrible. But you know, Dwayne Johnson could get some butts in the seats though.
Yeah, he does do that.
But I didn't realize that there was a comic version of Hercules.
Yes. It's Hercules something Thracian Warriors, or it is a specific like mythical adaptation. It's not the Hercules, the comic book character like Thor.
Right.
It's an actual, you know, set in that time period. It's an adaptation of that piece. And I had it in the news for later, and I kind of threw it out, but Alan Moore is pushing for a boycott of this movie because apparently Stephen Moore did not had problems with the movie, the way it was adapted, and at one point was complaining about not getting paid, his royalties, blah, 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 blah.
We don't need to hear that.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's get the people involved and, you know, millionaires can't get along. I don't know. I don't know about that. I could be grossly oversimplifying because I don't know the financial situation of the people, but yeah, I don't know. They're still getting paid somehow. All right, so let's talk about the next movie, Lucy. Currently 68% on the tomato meter, out of 19 reviews, 13 fresh and 6 rotten. And out of 52,369 Rotten Tomato users, 98% want to see it. So here's the description. From La Femme Nikita and The Professional to The Fifth Element, writer-director Luc Besson has created some of the toughest, most memorable female action heroes in cinematic history. Now Besson directs Scarlett Johansson in Lucy, an action thriller that tracks a woman accidentally caught in a dark deal who turns the tables on her captors and transforms into a merciless warrior, evolved beyond human logic. R, 1 hour and 29 minutes, written and directed by Luc Besson, also starring Morgan Freeman, Min Sik Choi, Pailu Azbeck, and Claire Tran. So, yeah, this actually looks pretty good.
It looks really good. I want to see this.
And I think, you know, for me, Luc Besson has some cred.
Definitely.
Whether I'll see it in the theater, I don't know, but I would like to. Kind of looks like the same plot as Limitless a little bit, even though I haven't seen Limitless.
I guess, generally speaking, yes, but within more of a definitely action.
Right.
And Limitless was completely about, like, his ability to think problems out, whereas this is straight up superpowers.
Right. All right, so movie and wide release number 3, why don't you tell us about it, Arsar?
All right. Tell us about it. And so it goes. Rated 33% rotten on the tomato meter. 6 reviews counted, 2 fresh, 4 rotten. 78% want to see it out of 3,631 users. There are a million reasons not to like Realtor or in Little, Michael Douglas, and that's just the way he likes it. Willfully obnoxious to anyone who might cross his path, he wants nothing more than to sell one last house and retire in peace and quiet. Until his estranged son suddenly drops off a granddaughter, Sterling Gerrans, he never knew existed, and turns his life upside down. Clueless about how to care for a sweet, abandoned 9-year-old, he pawns her off on his demented and lovable neighbor, Leah, Diane Keaton, and tries to resume his life uninterrupted. But little by little, Oren stubbornly learns to open his heart to his family, to Leah, and to life itself, in this uplifting comedy from acclaimed director Rob Reiner. Aw, damn it.
What's wrong now?
Nothing. I like Rob Reiner. I was really uninterested in this movie until that point.
You know, Rob Reiner is a pretty big name as a director.
I know. Like I said, I like...
So I am shocked at a lot of people that I have no idea who they are in this movie. I mean, there's probably 30 people. And Douglas Keaton, Frankie Valli, Rob Reiner. I mean, he's in it.
He likes to do that.
Yeah, but I don't...
I don't know
any of these other people. So, anyways. Yeah, this is a rental.
Yeah.
All the way.
But I will go out of my way to see this at some point, because I like Rob Reiner.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so that wraps up the movies coming out in wide release. So now, we can get to picks.
We can get to picks.
So, Art, since you're smacking me around on Art's house, why don't you go first?
Okay. So, this was really tough. I just all over the place. I am going with Hercules at number 1. It really just comes down to The Rock puts butts in seats. I haven't really heard much about the movie. It's probably going to stink terribly, but hopefully it'll have enough to just put it in that top spot. Because looking at what's out there now, you know, if you cut everything in half that's currently on the board, you're talking about a top bill of $18 million for Planet of the Apes, $15 for Anarchy, the Purge. So I'm going with Hercules in number 1. I'm going to go with Lucy in number 2, just because I would love to see it do that well. I would love to be wrong and lose the points and have Lucy be number 1, but sci-fi has just not been doing that well lately. I'm going to put Dawn of the Planet of the Apes in the number 3 spot. I'm going to put Purge Anarchy in the number 4 spot. Planes, Fire, and Rescue. Wait, what did I just say? 1, 2, 3. Purge 4. Planes 5. Yes, that's what I'm doing. And I'm not even putting As It Goes on the list. And So It Goes.
And so it goes off of your top five.
So it goes right off on my top five. And I am going to go with Happy Christmas for my Arts House pick because of Anna Kendrick.
All right. So here are my picks. I'm going to put Lucy number one.
Okay.
I'm going to put Dawn of the Planet of the Apes at number two.
You said that with such conviction.
Yeah, I was thinking about changing it as I said it, but I'm not going to do that.
I could hear it. I could hear it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's familiarity breeds contempt. At number three, I'm going to put Hercules because, you know, Dwayne Johnson. Mm. I don't think he's been in a movie yet that has done bad at the box office. At number four, I'm going to have The Purge. Anarchy of the Purge. Yeah. And at number five, I'm going to put Planes, Fire, and Rescue. And for my Arts House pick, yeah, I'm going to go with Happy Christmas also.
Okay, I thought you might go with the Philip Seymour Hoffman joint.
No, you know, I like me some Anna Kendrick as well, but when I saw that she is a 20-something party girl, at least that's what her character's playing, I said, done deal.
Okay.
I also like, you know, Melanie Lynskey, and also Lena Dunham is also in it. So she's also a funny actress. So those are my picks. And at the time of this recording, we've also found out that Father Beast is going with A Most Wanted Man.
Okay.
So we have three players for the Arts House. And I believe that is it for the picks. So now we can get the share time.
Yes.
Art, what have you watched in the past 14 days?
Okay, so I have continued to keep up on Under the Dome. I am still really enjoying it. I cannot recommend it enough. I saw I don't know if it's an extended trailer or just it's the regular trailer, but Star Wars Rebels.
Yes. Yes, I watched it twice during launch yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. That gives me hope. It was that good.
All right, so...
I want to watch that.
Clarification.
Yes.
When does that take place? As far as canon.
As far as canon, it looks like it takes place between... between 3 and 4.
I would agree with that.
Probably leading up to A New Hope. It's like the beginning of, you know, the rebels getting their start, you know? So yeah, no, that looks really good. That makes me want to play some more Star Wars is what it does. And then I watched the movie. I watched Saving Mr. Banks.
And how did you like it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really did. It was not exactly what I expected because have you seen it?
I have not.
Okay. There is a lot more of the woman, I'm blanking on her name now.
Emma Thompson?
Yes. I was trying to think of the writer's name, but the woman who wrote Mary Poppins, there is a lot more of her backstory intertwined with the movie. Like, there's a lot of flashbacks. That's basically, I was not expecting that. And it is just, the story is masterfully told. The actors in it they do a great job. And I really, really enjoyed it. So I would recommend it.
Yeah, it's definitely one that we want to watch because we're fans of Mary Poppins, but we haven't gotten around to watching it.
Yeah, I would say watch it. It's a little heavy. Some of the themes that are going on, some of what the writer went through as a child.
How was Tom Hanks's Walt Disney?
I thought he did great. I mean, I've seen, you know, little clips here and there, and I thought he did a really good job. So yeah, like I said, I think everybody was, as far as the actors, was doing a really good job. Paul Giamatti's role, very good. He's in it as well. I would give it 2 thumbs up. Check it out when you get a chance. And that is it for what I saw over the last couple of weeks.
Okay, as for me, there was a couple weeks during the last season where I watched a lot of movies. So I think that I've gotten back to my old ways where I really didn't watch anything. On the trip up to San Francisco, we watched, or I listened to, because I was in the front seat, the Pink Panther a couple times. And not the old one, but the rebooted one with Steve Martin.
Yes.
That movie had its moments.
I had some friends who really, really enjoyed that movie and mm-hmm. could not say enough good things about it. I never watched it because I wasn't a big Pink Panther fan, the original.
Oh, man, those are great.
Yeah, it's just it was a little too over the top for me.
Right.
I don't think I've ever been very slapsticky.
Right. Right. And so, and as far as TV, I've been out of the house for a week, so DVR is still at 8 or 9%.
I'm happy to be in like the 20% range. I think I was down in the single digits. So I was like, I got to get this under control.
My daughter has discovered a new show, H2O, which is an Australian show about three mermaids that's, pretty close to Baywatch as far as I'm concerned. And then my son, he's discovered Total Drama Island, which is an animated parody of Survivor.
That's
on the Cartoon Network.
Nice.
And I'm encouraging my wife to, because she's a big reality show person, and she'd probably get more of the jokes. But he, speaking of slapstick, he just likes the pratfalls and all that other stuff. So yes, so that's a big, what Jeff has been watching the last 2 weeks, which hasn't been very much. So I think it's time to end share time. So now let's get to an abbreviated news.
Abbreviated news.
So, just means that less news stories to talk about, not that we're just going to say the first letters of every word. Okay.
Well, I was going to cut them a little shorter.
Okay. Well, no. You do what you want. I got okay. 1.5 things. So.
Okay. Well, I will start because I've got 3 things I want to talk about here. The first one is. This was really disappointing to me. This is DC falling flat on its face. Batman vs. Superman will not be set in the same universe as the Arrow and Flash TV shows. Epic fail.
I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, come on. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I think if they want to try and emulate what Marvel is doing, they need the interconnectedness, because I think that's what's making it work over there. I mean, yes, the stories are good, and finding good actors, and they're shooting it well, they're firing on all cylinders, but the interconnectedness is also a part of that formula. At least that's the way I feel. So when I saw this, I was very disappointed, because I still haven't watched Arrow. It's in my Netflix queue, but the people I know who are watching it love it. And when they connected the Flash and the Arrow, it just made, me all the more need to get caught up on Arrow so that I can, really get invested in Flash. Because I want to see DC do better. I want more superhero movies that are good. And I feel like that's a path that they can walk if they do it, if they take the right cues. And I feel like this is a misstep. We'll see, but what is your counterpoint? Why do you feel like maybe not the case?
Personally, the news that I've been hearing about this DC movie, they're all over the place.
Okay.
Because it seems like they're dropping in all these characters. Is it official that Aquaman is going to be in it?
I have not heard that, but okay.
So Aquaman is a possibility. We know Wonder Woman's in it. We know Batman's in it. We know Superman's in it. We know that Cyborg's in it. They've announced the actor that's going to play Cyborg.
Right.
And it seems like they're doing the right thing by pulling back a little bit, because how many movies are we in the Marvel Cinematic Universe when they did the crossover between Captain America 2 and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? 8 or 9 movies in?
Okay, yeah.
And then more than that, probably. And then you're gonna weave in not one but two different shows that have superheroes in it.
I'm not saying you have to weave it in. There doesn't have to be anything about it, but to flat out say they're not connected, that you didn't have to connect them right now. You didn't have to say anything. You know, you could have just kept your lips shut.
Right.
You know? And then somewhere later down the line, the Flash who appears is the, you know, is the same Flash, or, you know, whatever, something, anything, you know. But I guess I can see what you're saying, as far as I think that they might be oversaturating. They're getting too carried away.
Yeah, that's where I'd be going with it. But, you know, who's to say that they could be connected once the movie comes out?
Right.
I mean, there is no guarantee.
No, nothing is ever set in stone.
Yeah, there's no guarantee that they have to stick to what they're saying.
Right.
Okay. So, all right, so my story and a half, or news article and a half, has to do about Star Wars. So J.J. Abrams has released another video, and they're giving away another spot if you give to the charity to visit the set and all that other blah, blah, blah. That's not what a lot of people are talking about. A lot of people are talking about what was in the background of this video that just released last week.
I did see that.
Okay, now, if you remember last time, a lot of people were excited because it looked like they were using puppets for an alien, because an alien walks behind him in the background in that first video.
Yes.
Now, they have released a video of what one of the ships looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And fanboys are kind of in a tizzy about this one, because the press release says that there's video of an X-Wing in the background.
Right.
But it's not a traditional X-Wing design.
Right.
And some people are saying, is it a Z-95?
Yeah, and it's not that either.
Well, and then someone dug up that there was a Ralph McQuarrie illustration done of the Death Star battle, and it shows the design that was in the... that was in the video, where, you know, basically that, you know, how they're different is that the X-Wing has 4 engines.
Yeah.
And one, you know, 2 on top, 2 on the bottom when they separate, whereas the ship that was in the video has 1 engine that kind of splits down the middle when the, you know, the S-foils separate when they're
right.
going into battle or whatever. So I'm just glad that we're going to see... You know, that we're going to see ships, because if they're going to show ships, we might see a space battle or two, which is something that I thought was kind of missing from, I wanted more in the prequels.
Okay.
All right. So, kind of dovetailing into that, I'm a sports fan, which means that I get overly attached to numbers and statistics. And there's been kind of a new thing where sports blogs or sports websites have been crossing over into pop culture. And so there is a new blog, 538.com, that was created or established by Nate Silver, who is a stat head and who I think is the only one that correctly predicted the last 2 presidential elections. And he's very good at forecasting how baseball players are going to do. So on his website, they have an article that says America's favorite Star Wars movies and least favorite characters. So basically what they did is they just did a grassroots poll. So between the days of June 3rd and June 6th, they surveyed 1,186 respondents. And so here's some numbers about Star Wars and about, you know, the public's regard for Star Wars. Maybe not regard, but anyways. So of the 835 respondents who have seen any film, they asked them, which Star Wars movies have you seen? So they just had to put one down. 91% had Empire Strikes Back. Next, they had Return of the Jedi at 88. Phantom Menace at 80%. Attack of the Clones, 68. Revenge of the Sith, 66. Oops, and I skipped a New Hope. New Hope at 73%. And then of the 471 respondents who said they've seen all 6 films, what's the best Star Wars movie? 36% said Empire Strikes Back. 27% said A New Hope.
Oh, that's closer than I thought.
17% said Return of the Jedi. Okay, at 10%, what do you think was the highly regarded prequel movie?
I'm going to say the third one, Revenge of the Sith.
Phantom Menace at 10%.
Really?
Revenge of the Sith at 6% and Attack of the Clones at
4%. Huh. Okay. That is very interesting.
So, going down how people rate the Star Wars movies, how often each film was rated in the top, middle, and bottom third? And this is the another 471 who have seen all six. You know what? Now that I say this, it's going to be too confusing to explain this. So we're going to skip ahead. Star Wars character favorability rating. So they did the political thing of, do you regard this person favorably, unfavorably, or are unfamiliar with him or her?
I saw this. Somebody retweeted this.
Okay, 834 respondents. 93% say Luke is favorable.
Mm-hmm.
So of the following seven characters, including Luke, all are 85 or above. Han Solo, Princess Leia, Obi-Wan, Yoda, R2-D2, C-3PO. And then we get down to Anakin Skywalker is 62% favorable, Darth Vader 58%, Lando 45%, Padme 43%, Boba Fett 36%, Palpatine 31%, and Jar Jar 29%.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Jar Jar is the most unfavorable at 37%. So, their biggest thing was the Emperor rated above Jar Jar. So, the personification of evil in the galaxy rated above Jar Jar. So, and the last thing.
And just one quick question. Where is Chewbacca on that list?
Chewbacca's not on the list.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Interesting. I'm going to have to double check that.
It was not on the list that I saw either.
Maybe there is a Wookiee bias. We'll have to see about that.
Okay. I think so.
And the last question, which is probably the most important question. According to 834 respondents, 39% say Han shot first. 24% said Greedo shot first. 37%. I don't understand this question. So I will put a link to this article in the show notes. This was very interesting. But yeah, no Chewie.
Yeah.
I am shocked and dismayed.
I know. Maybe it's a bias against furries.
Yeah, well, you know. If they don't know about who shot first, how are they going to know about furries?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. So that concludes my news. So, Art, take us out.
Okay. Well, I've got two things here. One is very quick. There is a 5-minute Guardians of the Galaxy extended clip out there. Have you seen this yet?
No. I am sequestering myself from clips about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay. You reach your threshold. You're done until you
I'm
see
done. I have a distaste for how much footage that they put out nowadays.
Okay.
Just, you know, I'm fine with 2 or 3 trailers.
Okay.
But, you know, right now enough is enough. Just let me watch the movie. I mean, we're 2 weeks out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll be watching it after the show, so I'll let you know what I think.
Okay.
And the other thing is Gwendolyn Christine may play a gender-swapped villain in Star Wars Episode 7. So Gwendolyn Christine from Game of Thrones has landed a major role. It is a role originally intended for, they wanted Benedict Cumberbatch, but he passed on it. And Imperial officer who is tracking down, where did it go? The guy from Attack the Block. And I am blanking. Boyega.
Oh, okay.
So he's a deserter, former stormtrooper, and she's an Imperial officer chasing after him, and rumor has it that she has been training, the actress has been training with a lightsaber. So she...
Well, I think if you're going to be in a Star Wars movie, whether you have any scenes with a lightsaber or not, you train with it anyways.
You know, has she been training with a lightsaber, or has she been playing with a lightsaber?
Well, you know, those are equivalent things.
Right. That is a distinction without a difference.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
She's getting paid to be on set. Might as well play around with the lightsaber. That very well could be the case. But so I just thought that was interesting, so I threw that out there. And that's all I have for news. Nice short news that night. Let's wrap it up and move on out.
All right. So, everyone, thank you for listening to Backseat Box Office. So we will catch you next week. Go be safe, and if you can, go see a movie. Other than that, Art, you have anything else to say?
No, good night.